Hi, welcome to Lesson 6 of Christian Basics on the Holy Spirit. The writer of this material is Dr. Ed Ruhls, and I'm David Fettes. I'll be presenting Dr. Ruhls' writing as well as offering some comments of my own. Introduction. Before Jesus left his disciples, he promised that he would send the Holy Spirit to them when he returned to heaven. The Holy Spirit would come to them, live within them, and help them to live the kind of life Jesus wanted them to live. He would also serve as their counselor and guide, bringing to their minds everything Jesus had taught them while he was on earth. Through the Holy Spirit, the disciples and all other believers would be able to produce spiritual fruit that would glorify God. The Spirit would purify their motives, fill them with joy, and help them to be all that Christ taught them to be. The Holy Spirit would also enable them to witness to others with such power that many people would be attracted to Christ and to the fellowship of believers. Question 1. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is God, just as the Father is God and the Son is God. Both the Old Testament and the New Testament make frequent references to the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, he is usually referred to simply as the Spirit of God, while in the New Testament, he is often referred to as the Holy Spirit, or sometimes the Spirit of Christ. Christians refer to the Holy Spirit as the third person of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In Scripture references, the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. No one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. Galatians 4, verse 6 says, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. And there are many other similar passages about the Holy Spirit showing that He's God along with the Father and the Son and that He lives and works in our hearts. Question 2. Does this mean that there are three separate gods called the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit? No. The Bible repeatedly emphasizes that there is only one true God. However, the Bible also teaches that the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. Believers therefore refer to the one true God as the Holy Trinity. And Trinity is tri-unity or three in one. Though we cannot fully understand this teaching, we accept it as a truth which God has made known to us in the Bible. When we honor and worship the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, we are worshiping the one true God. Scripture references. Matthew 28, verse 19, Jesus' great commission. He said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." We're baptized into the name of the one true God, and this true God is Father and Son and Holy Spirit. And not only are we baptized into the name of the one true God, but we are blessed in the name of the Trinity. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14 says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." See, again, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed in the name of the Trinity. One of the clearest passages where we see Father, Son, and Holy Spirit together is at the baptism of Jesus himself. When Jesus is baptized, the Spirit comes down in the form of a dove, and a voice from heaven says, "This is my Son whom I love. Listen to him." So that voice from heaven is God the Father speaking. The Spirit coming down in the form of a dove comes down on Jesus, the Son. And you see the three persons of the Trinity, and yet united still is as one God, not as a whole bunch of different gods to be worshipped separately, or gods who are squabbling and fighting with each other, as sometimes occurred in pagan myths of the gods. But one true God united in mind, united in being from all eternity, so that their purpose and will are always one and one in very being. 3. Is the Holy Spirit a divine person or simply a spiritual influence? The Holy Spirit is a divine person, as the Father and the Son are. The Holy Spirit thinks, loves, feels, and acts. He also comforts us, prays for us, hears our prayers, teaches and guides us, purifies us, and lives within us. Here are some scripture references showing that the Spirit is a person and not just a power. Jesus said, "The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." In that same passage, Jesus said that I will send you another comforter to be with you forever, or another helper, the Spirit of Truth. So Jesus identifies himself as the helper who is with them at that time, and then he says, I'll send you another one. So he's speaking of another person. Acts 1 verse 16 says the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand. The Holy Spirit is speaking as a person speaks. John 16 verse 13, when the Spirit of Truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He's not just a power or some sort of vague whatever. He's a person who speaks and communicates truth. Acts 2 verse 4 says that the disciples were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They're speaking what God's Spirit is putting in their mouths. In Acts 5, we find an interesting and sad story, which also shows that the Holy Spirit is personal and is God. The Apostle Peter said to Ananias, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? You have not lied to man, but to God." So when you lie to the Holy Spirit, you're lying to God Himself. Ephesians 4 verse 30 says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." You can't grieve a power or a something, but you can grieve a person. And so there are many passages which show the personality of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. 4. When do we first read about the Holy Spirit in the Bible? We first read about the Holy Spirit in the second verse of the Bible, Genesis 1 verse 2. The Holy Spirit was involved in the creation of the world and continues to be involved in the creation of all new life in the world. Scripture references Genesis 1 verse 2 says, "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." So you don't need to read very long in the Bible to meet up with God's Holy Spirit. And that Spirit who was there at the beginning of creation is the one who continues to give life, as Psalm 104 verse 30 says, "When you send forth your Spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground." Question 5, what is the role of the Holy Spirit in our spiritual life? The Holy Spirit is the creator and source of spiritual life, just as He is the source of natural life. He produces spiritual fruit in us, leads us into truth, gives us victory over temptation, comforts us in times of sadness and sorrow, encourages us in times of weakness, assures us of forgiveness when we sincerely confess our sins, empowers us to be faithful witnesses to Jesus, and helps us to become more like our Savior, Jesus. So the Holy Spirit does tremendous things in us. In fact, nothing wonderful happens in our lives apart from the work of God's Holy Spirit. Scripture references. Jesus says in John chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, "Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Titus 3 verse 5 says, "He saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit." Jesus said in Acts 1 verse 8, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses." Acts 4 verse 31 speaks of this power. "They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness." So the Spirit is equipping them to be bold and to speak the word. Romans 8 verse 9 says very simply, "Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him," does not belong to Christ. So the Spirit is the one who gives us the very life of Christ, and all the transformation that Christ brings into our life comes through the life and work and personality of the Holy Spirit living within us. Question 6, how can we receive the Holy Spirit into our own hearts and lives? What an important question. We must repent of our sins, trust in Jesus for forgiveness, and ask our Father in heaven to give us the gift of the Holy Spirit. Scripture references, Peter preached in Acts 2, verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for everyone whom the Lord our God calls to Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's what Peter says. So if you call on the name of Jesus and ask Him to forgive your sins and ask Him, then you will receive this wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Himself said in Luke 11, verse 13, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? All you need to do is ask. Ask to be forgiven of your sins and ask for Jesus' sake to be made new and to have the Holy Spirit of God, and God promises He will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. Question 7. What kind of spiritual fruit does the Holy Spirit produce in the lives of believers? The Holy Spirit enables us to produce spiritual fruit that glorifies God and blesses others. So it has a Godward direction in honoring Him and a direction towards other people, which gives them joy and blessing through the fruit we're bearing in our lives. Without the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives, we would never be able to become the kind of people God wants us to be. Scripture references, Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Romans 8, verses 5 and 6 says, those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Galatians 5, verse 25 says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. So each of us who is a believer in Jesus Christ has the Spirit of God in us, and that Spirit is working to bear this kind of wonderful character of Jesus Christ in us. That's really what all those fruits of the Spirit are. It's really one fruit, the character of Jesus, more and more being formed in us by the Holy Spirit at work in us. Question 8, how does the Holy Spirit help us to resist and overcome temptation? When we humbly follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, we are able to be victorious over temptations of every kind. The Holy Spirit actually lives within us, helping us to focus on things that are pleasing to God and enabling us to resist the temptations of our flesh, our sinful nature. The Holy Spirit may also bring to our minds truths that we have forgotten. He helps us to remember that we belong to God and that we are not our own masters. And He creates a renewed desire in our hearts to live for the Savior who died for us. So He keeps reminding us of truths, and He works in our hearts to give us a desire to live by those truths and to relate to the Savior who died and rose again, that we might become like Him. Scripture references. Galatians 5, verse 16 says, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. That's the key to overcoming temptation, walking by the Spirit. Romans 8, verse 9, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God dwells in you. Romans 8, verse 5 says, those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Temptation is very powerful. Sin is very powerful, and the evil powers, the evil spirit, Satan and his demons are very powerful. But we can overcome temptation because the one who is in us is more powerful than the one who is in the world. That's what the Bible says. And that's how we overcome temptation, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Question 9, is it possible for believers to disobey the Holy Spirit and lose the blessing and joy of living for Christ? Yes, at least temporarily. When we deliberately choose to sin, we grieve the Holy Spirit and lose the peace and joy He gives us when we obey Him. But if we've been truly born again, the Spirit will bring us back to the way of life after we've wandered away from it. So yes, we can lose some of the blessings and the joys and the sense of well-being that comes with walking by the Spirit because we've grieved the Spirit. But the Spirit does not let go completely of a true believer. He brings us back again, even after we've wandered. Scripture references, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Ephesians 4, verse 30. And 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19 says, "Do not quench the Spirit." Now, grieving the Spirit is often a part of sinning and making Him sad. Quenching the Spirit is maybe sinful in a certain way, but quenching the Spirit in that context is referring to not using the gifts of the Spirit that God has given you or stifling the gifts and abilities that the Holy Spirit has given to others. And so we don't want to grieve the Spirit by sinning, nor do we want to quench the Spirit by pushing down the gifts and the special leadings that the Holy Spirit gives in our lives. Question 10. How does the Holy Spirit help us in our prayer life? The Holy Spirit not only helps us to pray, but He also prays for us. What a blessing. He helps us in our own prayer life, giving us thoughts and prayers to speak to the Father. And then He Himself also prays on our behalf. Scripture references. Romans 8, verse 26 and 27. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us. And He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. What a blessing. Jesus is at the right hand of God praying for us, but the Spirit of God is also right within our own hearts, interceding, praying on our behalf. Ephesians 6, verse 18, the passage about the armor of God, after speaking about putting on all that armor, says, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. So we're praying in the Spirit. When we're wearing God's armor and we have the Spirit living in us, then our prayers are prayers that the Holy Spirit is prompting within us. Question 11. What are some of the spiritual gifts which the Holy Spirit gives to believers? The Holy Spirit gives a wonderful variety of gifts to believers. He distributes these gifts to believers in a way and at a time that He Himself chooses. Here are some scripture references about the various gifts of the Spirit. And even these lists don't cover everything. They're samples of what the Spirit gives. Romans 12, verse 6 through 8 says, "Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness." So, there are people who are especially good at doing acts of mercy and kindness. Others who have talents for leadership, others for teaching, others just for helping out and serving, and so on. And these are maybe seem to be kind of ordinary human gifts, but they are really from the Holy Spirit, especially when they're lit on fire by Him in the life of a reborn person. Now, there's another list of gifts which speaks of more supernaturally obvious gifts. There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, it says in 1 Corinthians 12. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge, to another faith, to another gifts of healing, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as He wills. So there's a whole wide variety of gifts that God gives to build up the total body of Christ. And no one person has all of these gifts. And the Spirit does not automatically give any one of these gifts to every person. Some have said, oh, if you ever receive the Holy Spirit in fullness, then you'll for sure be able to speak in tongues. That's not what the Bible says. The Spirit gives different gifts to different people as He so chooses. And the greatest sign of the presence of the Spirit is not any one gift of the Spirit, any ability for service, but the fruit of the Spirit, the character of Jesus, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Those are the sure marks of the character and presence of the Holy Spirit. And then he gives various gifts as he so chooses for building other people up and for strengthening the body of Christ and for advancing God's mission in the world. Question 12. Is the Holy Spirit concerned about the unity of believers? Very much. The unity of the church is of great importance for the spiritual growth of believers and also for their witness to the unbelieving world. And we could also add, for simply showing the unity of God Himself. Just as Father, Son, and Spirit are one, God wants His people to be one and to express that oneness for the glory of God as well as their own spiritual growth and their witness to the world. Ephesians 4 says, "Be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace until we all attain to the unity of the faith and mature manhood." Jesus prayed the night before He died. And we see in that prayer how much Jesus cared about unity and therefore how much His Spirit also cares about unity. Jesus prayed, "May they all be one, just as You, Father, are in Me and I in You, that they also may be in Us, so that the world may believe that You have sent Me. I in them and You in Me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that You sent Me and loved them even as You loved Me." Our oneness is to be a testimony to the world and a reflection of the unity within the being of God. Question 13. Why should we always follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and use our bodies to honor and glorify God? Our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who lives within us. We are not our own masters. We belong to God. That's why we should follow His leading. He owns us. He lives in us. He rules within us. Scripture references, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you?" 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16. "We are the temple of the living God." And 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20 speaks especially about the body. "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." There have been people who, in the name of spirituality, said, "You know what matters really is the spiritual, the soul, the spirit, and what you do with your body is really no big deal spiritually." That's not what the Bible says. It says that the Holy Spirit indwells your body and claims your body as His temple. And so you're to treat your body as a temple of the Spirit and do with your body as God calls you to do. Question 14. What promise is given to believers concerning the future resurrection of their bodies? When Jesus returns to earth again, our earthly bodies will be raised as new, glorious bodies that will never die. Scripture references. Romans 8, verse 11 shows that the Spirit is involved in the resurrection of Jesus and in the future resurrection of believers. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54 says, "When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." What this is saying is that if the Holy Spirit of God lives in you as a born-again believer, then you have in you the very life that brought Jesus from the dead and that will bring you up from the dead into new and eternal resurrection glory. If you do not have that life now, then you will not have that life in eternity. Your body may come back to life in a certain form of existence, but it will not be the glorious, Spirit-filled, eternal life of joy and peace and blessing. You need that life now. Just as right now, a seed may appear to be kind of dead, but you put it in the ground and it springs up into a plant because it has life hidden in it. If you just put a speck of dead stuff in the ground, it will not spring up to life. And so we can look forward to future resurrection life because already now, the Spirit who raised Jesus and promises to raise us lives within us. Question 15. Can we be sure that we are truly saved, truly destined for that resurrection and eternal life and already forgiven now? Yes. When we trust in Jesus as our Savior and seek to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit assures us that we are children of God. And God wants us to know that right now. Scripture references, Romans 8, all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. He moves us to call out, Abba, Father. And when we cry out to God as our Father because of the Spirit living in us, then we know that we're children of God. 1 John 4, verse 13 says, by this we know that we abide in Him and He in us because He has given us of His Spirit. When the Spirit's living in you, you know that you belong to God. You know that you have eternal life. And God doesn't want us to just live in uncertainty. God doesn't want us to just chew our nails and hope for the best. 1 John 5, verse 13 says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. The Holy Spirit reveals Jesus to us. He softens our hearts and draws our hearts to faith in Jesus. He moves us to call God, our Father. And as He does that, He wants us to be confident, to be certain that we have eternal life. What a blessing it is to have the Holy Spirit. He shows us our sin and our need for a Savior. Then He shows us that we have that salvation. And all that we have and all the fruit that we bear is the blessed result of the very God Himself, the third person of the Holy Trinity, living and working within us. Thank God for the Holy Spirit.